Happy New Year, Bridgeway. You made it another year. Put your hands together for the Lord. So glad to be able to worship with you on the first Sunday of the year. For those of you at our Owens Mills, Reisterstown campus, Happy New Year. So glad you're there. And those who are at home, in your kitchen, in your car, those in the house here in Columbia, Maryland, praise the Lord. Happy New Year. First of all, how about that watch night service? That crossover service from 2023 to 2024. And the Owens Mills campus really showed up. I asked how many people from Owens Mills were here. Hands all over the place. So thanks for coming down to Columbia. And when we get to Good Friday, we'll be coming up to Owens Mills, Reisterstown. But yeah, we had a packed house. We had overflow in the lobby. We had 1,111 people at 11 o'clock at night. So my goodness, I tell you what a time in the Lord. I gave a special word that night that I'd like to revisit today, maybe for those of you who weren't there. But today I also want to build on that word in order to declare what I believe is before us this year. And for some of you, this will not just be a repeat message, but it will be a reiterated one. And whenever God repeats or restates or reiterates something, it means he really wants you to get it. So here we go. Are you ready? Let me ask you again. Are you ready?
Yes.
One more time. Are you ready?
Yes.
And here we go. Moses is dead. Moses was great, but Moses is dead. When we get to Joshua chapter 1, where I had been reading God's word last Saturday morning, a week or so ago in 2023, we pick it up at verses 1 and 2. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, I read, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites.'" Did you see how the entire book of Joshua started? It started in verse 1 with saying, "After the death of Moses." It picks it up in verse 2 and it says, "Moses, my servant, is dead." Friends, Moses was awesome. I mean, he met God in a burning bush in Exodus chapter 3. He was sent by God to walk up into Pharaoh's house in Egypt and say, "Let my people go." Moses led the people out of Egypt through the Red Sea and across the desert. But now, Moses is dead. There may be some great victories that you have accomplished in the past, but that was then, and this is now. You may have had some tragic defeats in the last year, but that was then, and this is now. We respect all that you did last year, and in the last generation, and in the last season, but that was then, and this is now. I'm here to tell someone today, it's time to move on. It's time to move up. It's time to step up. In verse 2, I want you to notice that it says, "Now then." It says, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready." Now then. That means now it's time to turn the page from the Moses season to the Joshua season. Joshua being an aide to Moses, now Moses is dead. And now God is saying, "Now then, I need you to turn the page." In 2023, that may have been a great year or it may have been a tragic year, but 2023 is dead. And God has so much more for you in 2024. God has much in store in 2024. And God is telling me to tell you that in order to receive what he has in store, you will have to step up. And that's really the message today. Step up. In fact, can you just look at someone near you, if anyone's around you, and just look to them and say, step up. Can you tell them that? Keep talking to them. Say, I didn't say step forward. Tell them. Keep talking to them. Say, I didn't say step aside. You tell them. You may not have heard me. You tell them, I didn't say step over. I didn't say step back. I said step up. Did you hear me? You see, as you step into the new year, make it an opportunity to step up, to step up your praise, to step up your prayers, to step up your passion, to step up your power to believe God more, to step up your priorities. Stepping up is not about stepping forward at the same level. It's about stepping higher. It's about going up, going higher, elevating to another level, another dimension, up. And I believe that the Lord is encouraging me to encourage you that this is the year that you step up. But in order to step up, secondly, you have to look up. In order to go up to the next level, you have to look up. And I like that verse in Psalm 121, verse 1. I will lift my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. You know, some things just sound better in the King James Version, don't they? And that's one of them. I will lift up mine eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which make heaven and earth. Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. You got to look up to God. He will then, as you look up to him, reach his hand down and help you out to get to the next level. You know, also in the Psalms, it says that when I was deep in the water, he reached down from on high and took hold of me and pulled me out of deep waters. Anybody ever been in deep waters? Anybody know as a witness that God reached down and pulled you up out of some stuff? Do we need to talk about the stuff God pulled you out of? I don't think so. Some of us couldn't handle that story, but you know the story. God reached down and he reached for some of you way down. But he offered his hand and he said, come on with me. And he pulled you up to another level. Anybody glad to be pulled up to another level? He reached down from on high. And so what you need to hear today is God is wanting you to step up. And in order to do that, you got to look up. You got to look up to God. Take hold of his hand and step up to another level. And if you slip and fall, guess what? He will pick you up. He will lift you up. And it says also in Psalm 121 and verse 3, he will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Thank you, God, that you don't just leave me down at levels that I cannot seem to win, but he'll reach down and he'll lift you up. When you make up in your mind in 2024 that you're going to step up and you're going to start looking up to God, then you will need this third thing that I need to leave with you today, and that is to be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. God may be saying to you that, listen, like he was saying to me, listen, while I was in my quiet time, I was reading in that verse, in that chapter, Joshua 1, it says three times, be strong and courageous. It says in verse 6, be strong and courageous. It says in verse 9, be strong and very courageous. And then it says again, be strong and courageous. Verse 6, verse 7, and then verse 9. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Be strong and courageous. In less than 30 minutes after that quiet time, I received a phone call that challenged me to put this word into practice. Whenever that happens, I recognize that as a preparation devotional. Anybody ever have a preparation devotional? That's a devotional you have, and then after the devotional, something happens that connects you to what you were reading. God was preparing you for whatever it is he was asking you to do. And I wonder, why might you need to be strong and courageous this year? What does God have in front of you that will be challenging you to be strong and courageous? Because when you step up and look up and you elevate to another plane, guess what? You're gonna have to be strong and courageous, because as you step up and as you elevate, you will see challenges and enemies and obstacles at higher levels that you haven't seen before. Every level has its challenges, but when you go to another dimension, those challenges also go to another dimension. And so you will be facing different levels of challenge, enemies, and obstacles, a different kind of CEO. When you get to another level, challenges, enemies, and obstacles, a different kind of CEO, higher level challenges, higher level enemies, higher level obstacles, because new levels bring what? New devils. You know, when you see in HD, you start to see things with greater clarity, don't you? I mean, have you ever gone to one of those big TV stores, like the big TV store or gramophone or even Costco? You know, we'll be walking through a store like that and they'll have all these TVs. And when you see these big TVs, it's not just their size and Lord, their price, but their clarity. All of a sudden you start thinking about your sorry TV at home. Like, you didn't know the grass was that green, did you? You didn't know that that newscaster had those kind of pimples. You just never saw them before. You never saw wrinkles on people like that before, because now you are seeing it at a higher quality, at a higher definition, if you will. And I'm here to tell someone that when you step up, you will begin to start seeing things spiritually in high def, in HD. You will begin to see things at a level that you could not see before, because you're going to have a clearer eyesight spiritually. People reach out to try to sell stuff all the time to you and to me. They market us all the time. And somebody was reaching out saying, listen, they had this stock option thing and they really wanted me to do some investing in it. And I was like, wow, some of this sounds really, really good. Let's do a face-to-face Zoom meeting or something like that, video call, so I can, you know, I want to look them in the eye and I want to talk to them. And they were shucking and jiving. They were like, well, you know what? We can talk on email. Or, you know what? Maybe we can talk on the phone. I said, okay, well, we'll start on the phone, but I really want to have a video face-to-face. Get on the phone in the background. It sounded like kids were running around and there was traffic. I'm like, oh, heck no. Person hits me up later. Sorry, I was in a bad place, but, you know, we can talk some more. I said, okay, well, let's get on a video call. They didn't want to get on a video call. Why? Because when you get on a video call, maybe you'll be able to actually see them. And that's what I'm saying to you, God is going to start beginning to give you another level of discernment, another level of insight. You're going to be able to see high definitions. Lord, show me the wrinkles on the face of this deal, God. This person didn't want to show their face. And you're going to walk into 2024 and you're going to say, show your face. I'm not going to make a move until I can see the wrinkles on your face, so I can see the freckles on your face. God is not going to let me walk into something that I cannot see with clear discernment. Sermon anymore. And I believe that will be true for you. Things that you could not see before, you're going to see. You're not going to start dating folk that are not right for you, because you're going to say, God, in this situation, show me their face. God, in this situation, before I sign this deal, show me their face. Lord, show me what I need to see before I step into something where I don't need to be. God is going to take you to higher dimensions, and he's going to bring higher definition. And HD levels will reveal HD devils, but I'm declaring to you today that you will see more in 2024. God will reveal high definition decoys. that were sent and meant to destroy you. And you will see the wrinkles in the face of the deals that you couldn't see before. God is going to give you discernment when you're going to be able to say, you know what? Show me your face. You will see the freckles on the face of what's being offered to you to make sure that the choice is right. Now, to be clear, I ain't saying that there's anything wrong with wrinkles and freckles. They can look really, really good. Somebody said amen. Wrinkles and freckles can be beautiful. I just need to see them up front. And you know, God will reveal high resolution solutions to problems that you couldn't see clearly at the lower levels. You know, I went to this one country and this one city and people were supposed to meet me. And when I got there, I wasn't quite sure. I couldn't visualize who was supposed to be picking me up. And because I hadn't been in the city before, I wasn't quite sure, so I'm scanning the place, and finally a couple guys come up and said, hey, you're here. I said, yeah, I'm here. And I said, let me take your bag. I said, great, thank you so much. How was the trip, man? It was long, but we made it here, and I'm walking with them. And I was traveling with one other brother, but this brother was now going to go to another country, and he had somebody else meeting him, so we had said goodbye, and now we separated, so I was alone. And as I'm walking out the airport, it may have been the Holy Spirit. It may have been my street sense. It may have meant that I grew up in Prince George's County. I'm not quite sure what it was, but something immediately hit me, and my discernment, Spidey sense, went up. And I stopped right when we got out of the airport and about to walk across the traffic to the parking garage, and I said, "Stop." And I'm not proud of the language that I used. This is your pastor, I understand this. This was many years ago, I hadn't always been saved. But I said, stop, give me my bags. No, sir, it's this way. I said, listen, if you don't give me my bags right now, I will kill you. All of the military inside of me, all of the basic training, I cannot explain what happened. This is not my normal personality, but whenever danger or crisis comes, I turn into a different person. And so I wasn't thinking about sanctification. I was thinking about their salvation, and they're going to need it right now. The guys stop. They let go. I snatched my bags, and I looked them in the eye. And as I turned, I caught off the side of my eye seven other guys hiding behind a pillar right there in the garage. And I walked back and I said, thank you, Jesus. I don't know what you call that, but I believe that in that moment, God turned my blurry vision into high definition vision because I was going to a new level, which meant that I was facing a new devil, new challenges, new enemies, new obstacles. And what God is saying to you that, look, I need you to be strong and courageous, whatever your fight is. If you got to fight cancer, I need you to be strong and courageous. This isn't the time to wallow and fall in a corner. No, it's the time to fight. I need you to fight fear. I need you to fight whatever CEOs are coming your way. I want this message to ring in your ears in June, in July, in October. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Be strong and courageous, because I believe it will be required of you in 2024 if you choose to step up, if you choose to look up, then you will need to be strong and courageous. And higher level challenges, enemies, and opportunities may come your way, but hear me, you will see greater success at higher levels as well. You will see greater success than you've seen before if you will walk on another plane and if you will be strong and courageous. And so let me give you some more declarations. Number one, I already said it, you will see more in 2024. These declarations I'm giving are only for those who are planning to step up, only to those who are saying, yes, Lord, I will step up and I will look up and I will be strong and courageous. Then that first declaration is for you. You will see more in 2024 and you'll see it in high definition. Number two, You will face higher level CEOs than you've ever faced before. Number three, you will feel supernatural strength and courage that you have never felt before. You step up, you look up, you make a decision that I'm going to be strong and courageous even beyond my fears. Then not only will you see more, not only will you face more, but you will feel more supernatural strength and courage than you've ever felt before. And I have five declarations. Here's the fourth one. You will see the glory of the Lord in your success. You will see the glory of the Lord in your success. Some of us know success, but on this next level, on this next plane, on this next dimension, yes, you may see prosperity and yes, you may see success, but you're gonna see the glory of the Lord in your success. In fact, in this same chapter, in Joshua chapter 1, in verse 7 and in verse 8, he mentions success. So success is not a bad thing, but it's a different success than just worldly success. This is success where the glory of the Lord is present. Listen to what it says in chapter 1, verse 7. It says, Joshua, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. Here it is. That you may be what? Successful where? Wherever you go. Wow. Wherever you go, you will be successful. If you're careful to obey everything that I've told you to do and not go to the right or to the left. Then you pick it up in the next verse, verse 8. Listen to what it says. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. There are only two times to meditate. When are they? Day and night. That's right. So that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be what? Prosperous and successful. Verse 7 and verse 8 talk about success, but this is God's success, and I believe that you will see his glory in your success, not just success. Worldly success is one thing, but to see God's glory in your worldly success, to see God's glory in your business, to see God's glory in your marriage, to see God's glory in your finances, to see God's glory in the meetings that you're walking into. Yes, we want success, but we want godly success. We want to see God's glory in success. And we want, listen, we want other people to see God's glory in our success. When they award us and when they say well done and when you walk out with a raise or a bonus, you need to be able to say glory to God. It was because of God that I was able to succeed. That is the kind of level of success where it's not about me. I'm grateful to be a part of it, and I worship God in it, and I give God the glory, because if it wasn't for him, I would not have achieved what I've achieved. You know, what I want for you and what I want for me is an every and whatever. An every and whatever. When you see the language in Joshua chapter 1, he uses extreme language all throughout the passage. Let me give you a couple of verses in verse 3. It says, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Every place. Verse 7. That you may be successful wherever you go. Verse 7, verse 8, be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful, everything. Here's the last one, verse 9. For the Lord your God will be with you, check it out, wherever you go. Wouldn't it be cool to be an every and whatever Christian, wherever Christian, everywhere? You know, I have a personal mission statement, and I don't share it much. It's just, you know, personal mission statements are for you. Had this over 30 years, I wrote it. And there's no science to writing a mission statement. You know, it's supposed to be a sentence that motivates only you. It's not for everybody else. So, you know, in 30 years, I may have quoted maybe 3 or 4 times throughout the years in the ministry, because it's not really a public thing. It's a private thing. And it, for mine, it's 10 words or less. But what it's supposed to do is supposed to motivate you. Do some of you have a personal mission statement? You know, it's something that as you think about your behavior, as you think about your life, and mine is to positively inspire and influence for Christ everyone, everywhere, every time. To positively inspire and influence for Christ everyone, everywhere, every time. And that was a process I went through. You go through a page, you write a whole page of what you want to do and be, and then you take it down and down to a paragraph, and then you take it down to a sentence, to something that you can memorize that's just there for you. It's not an elevator speech for everybody else, but it's a personal mission statement for you. That may be a good practical application for those of you who like to think about this kind of stuff. Do I have a personal mission statement? And if not, maybe I should write one. And that's how you do it. Take a page, down to a paragraph, down to a sentence, something that you can memorize that motivates you to be the best you, based on who you are, based on the personality that you have, based on what you feel like God's called you to do, but something you can live up to. And the reason I talk about mine today is because trying to be in every kind of Christian, every place I go, everywhere I go. Listen, I know that my mission statement is a lofty one. I mean, everyone, everywhere, every time. I mean, every is a lofty goal. And you know, and I know that I don't always hit that mark. But I thank God I have that mark. I don't make my mission smaller to match my abilities. I make it bigger to inspire my possibilities. And no, I may not always hit it, but when I don't hit it, I have something to measure it against. I make my mission higher so that I can achieve more. And if I aim higher, then I'll achieve more. If I shoot for the moon, maybe I'll hit the stars. But if you aim lower, you're gonna achieve lower. And if you shoot for nothing, you're gonna hit it every time. So maybe ask yourself, you know what, from this point on, whether I'm 50, 60, 70, 80, whether I'm 15, 13, 18, I'm gonna write a personal mission statement that challenges me, whether I ever show it to anybody or not. I need it for me. Because I want God to be glorified in my success, and I wanna make sure that I have a plumb line, not just of God's word, of God's call, but even for me. What do I want from me? And when I violate what I want from me, I need to know I violated it. The problem is there are people who live their lives and they violate stuff all the time, but they don't have a measuring stick to even know whether they violated their own morals, their own standards. Because we're in a world that's telling you don't have standards. It's whatever you feel. It's whatever you want. It's whatever your emotions tell you. And who knows whether the word of God is real? And who even knows if God is real? And if he is real, it's all these gods and any God. You can be God. The open seat next to you could be God. And so when there's no plumb line, no standards, no authority of the word of God, maybe not even a God at all, then nobody even has any sense of what is right and what is wrong except what I feel. How has that been working for you? How does that work in your marriage? How does that work in your relationships? How does that work on your job? I'm gonna live my life according to what I feel, when I feel, do what I want, when I want. Does that sound like freedom? To a lot of people it does, but look at the hellhole they're in. And their life is spiraled down, and they have 2, 3, 4 divorces behind them. They have children that are running around doing craziness. They don't have a spouse that loves them. They don't have a friend that loves them. They feel lonely and depressed and anxious. They're on drugs. They get high. They have a double, triple, quadruple kind of a life. There's nothing inside of them that gives them any sense of mission, any sense of purpose. You've got to connect to the God of purpose who will give you your mission, and then you live out that call in your life. That's how you step up. That's how you level up. That's how you move up. And like Paul said in Philippians 3, I take hold of what Christ took hold of for me. Not that I've already apprehended, but I'm going to take hold and I'm going to press on because I have a mission and I have a calling, and I will press on toward the goal of the high calling that is within Christ Jesus. In order to be the kind of person that you want to be, God wants you to be, then you got to have, in every kind of mentality, be careful to do everything God has commanded. And I now know that every place I go, God will be with me. Which leads me to the fifth and final declaration. You will develop a new wherever I go faith mentality this year. Let me say it again. You will develop a new wherever I go faith mentality this year. It says in verse 3 of chapter 1 of Joshua, the Lord will give me every place I set my foot, spiritually speaking. The Lord will give me success wherever I go. And the Lord will be with me wherever I go. You will develop this new wherever I go faith mentality. And let me just say, this is not meant to be an arrogant attitude or a churchy attitude or a presumptuous mindset. This is meant to be a faith mentality that if I do what God's called me to do, then he'll be with me wherever I go. Whatever hospital I go to, whatever home I go in, whatever meeting I walk in, I want to be a wherever I go believer that actually believes that God already went there before I even showed up. This is meant to be a faith mentality. A mentality that walks by faith and trusts that God has given into your hands what he promised. That's what he's saying to Joshua. I'm going to give you what I promise. This means that you have to take hold of something that God has given you, not to be presumptuous. Taking hold of what God has given you is a birthright. And it's with humility and it's with gratitude that we hold our heads up high, that we walk with confidence and step into the destiny that God has for us, that we will not cower because of someone else's low self-esteem, because your esteem can't handle my rise. That's your issue. That's not my issue. And we will not allow someone else's insecurities to dim the light that Christ is shining within us. We will be discerning and kind and use better discretion so others will not stumble. But this is our responsibility, to take hold of what God has promised us. This is our sensitivity. But we cannot allow our capacity to be diminished by the lack of capacity that others may have. If you're going to step up, you're going to go to a higher plane. And listen, everybody won't go to that plane with you. You will meet new people at that plane. And you will have to take a new mentality to that plane. So take what the Father has given you. Walk in the favor of God that he's bestowed upon you. Be reminded that you are the head and not the tail. Be reminded that you can be the lender and not the borrower. Step up and see the glory of the Lord. In conclusion, I want to review these five declarations again. And then I want to walk us into a time where we can give our special first fruits offering. Here they are. Number one, you will see more in 2024, high definition. Number two, you will face higher level CEOs than you have faced before, challenges, enemies, obstacles. Number three, you will feel supernatural strength and courage that you have never felt before. Number four, you will see the glory of the Lord in your success. And number five, you will develop a new wherever I go faith mentality this year. Do you receive those five declarations? All right. And a practical application for those who want, and that is a personal mission statement. Maybe you'll write one if you don't already have one. You need help with that, email me. Just go to andersonspeaks.com. I'll help you write one if you want. Now it's time for us to give our first fruits offering. For those of you who haven't already done it, let me just explain to you what it is just to make sure everybody's on the same page. And that is the first offering of the year above and beyond your normal tithes to say, God, thank you for the year behind me. Moses is dead. Thank you for the year in front of me. It's a Joshua season. And I plant in the ground spiritually an offering to say, God, please protect me this year. Be with me this year. This is a faith offering. It's a gratefulness offering, and it's a faith offering as I step up. And for some of you, you did it on Watch Night. For others of you, maybe you did it before. Our link is open, and it will stay open to the end of the month in January, January 30th. And we have envelopes. And in fact, let me grab an envelope really quickly if somebody can give me one, just so you can see it. And on the envelope, you can just put your name, and you can say, I have enclosed, and put the amount there. We can at least give you credit for it. Or maybe you already gave. I have given already. You can put that amount there. And what we're going to do in just a moment is we will have a song of worship. We'll invite you to, I mean, we only do this maybe once or twice a year, invite you to come down and put it in one of these baskets here and in the front there at Owens Mills. And here in the Columbia campus, you can just walk down the middle aisles and drop it in one of these four and walk out in there in Owens Mills as well. You can go as Pastor Mitch directs you. And Pastor Mitch, welcome back to the stage at OMR. Let's go ahead and give him a hand. We're glad he's back to the stage. So let me sign off for those of you who are at the Owens Mills campus. God bless you.